You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superheroes, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review shows, new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar: The Last Airbender. Old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and the 10th Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays, coming in September.
Users out there, welcome to another episode of Padme's Closet, the Coruscant edition. We are now in the bustling city of Coruscant, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello.
So...
I feel like we should be, like, Coruscant fashion, consultants for the red carpet, where they're coming like, who are you wearing?
Can we be like the Joan Rivers of Star Wars?
Yes, exactly.
And then insult people, too.
Exactly. Well, duh.
Because we're good at doing both. We are good at the insults and we're good at the fashion. So, you know, yes. A little bit of both. But so if you remember last time, we talked about and tore apart Padme's outfit on Tatooine, her disguise outfit, which, you know, go back and listen to it because we had feelings on it. But today we are on Coruscant. It's a bustling city. It's a city that never sleeps.
And you gotta bring out your best.
Yes, we're talking about Padme's outfit. It is briefly shown in episode 1. It's in there for maybe like a minute or two. But it is the lilac pre-Senate kimono that she wears with the big feather headdress and the beads and all that pretty stuff. So Chris has her Star Wars Padme fashion book of knowledge thing.
Yeah.
So what does it say?
So this dress is actually the feature cover outfit for Dressing a Galaxy, the Costumes of Star Wars by Trisha Biggar. And it's the main focus, and she's flanked by two handmaidens. It's a stunning outfit. It's got, at least three layers.
At least, yes.
At least three layers. It has, it starts with this sort of burgundy-ish, almost iridescent, I want to call it like a crepe silk, which is just stunning. And then there's this really interesting ruched, light lilac kind of blue, almost robin's egg blue, I would say, maybe, cover. And then this iridescent light purple kimono thing. It's very dramatic. Very dramatic.
Yes,
It has an OO. It's got these beautiful, a lot of it was hand embroidered beading everywhere, and it's very pretty. It's very delicate looking.
She has
very ceremonial.
Sleeves, and I like that they call them penguin sleeves.
Yes, penguin sleeves, exactly.
Yes, they exaggerate the sleeves a bit to give her more of a elongated appearance.
Yeah. It's a very forceful dress. It's got a lot of presence to it.
Like, she's here and she's gonna talk to you.
Yeah.
So this is the outfit that she wears in Palpatine's apartment when she's talking to him about how I'm gonna address the Senate, what's going on, is Chancellor Valorum, is there a vote of no confidence? We don't know. He's been our strongest supporter. And she's also wearing this, like, Romanesque feathered, not even a feather, like, Romanesque broom on her head. It's a broom.
Yes. It looks like the Roman helmet flange, but yes. it's turned around 180 degrees.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. So, but it's got this gorgeous beaded headpiece that kind of waterfalls down it.
Mm-hmm.
And the beads are originally from a 1920s flapper dress.
Yes.
I love it when they reuse things.
Well, and I love that because originally those beads were actually supposed to be like in front of her face as a veil kind of thing. But then George was like, what if we part them and hang them on the gold emblems on the side? And like, that's really pretty.
That would have been annoying so fast.
Oh, yeah, just like her turning her head and like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
So annoying. So the effect is very somber.
Yes, it's like very like, okay, I'm sad, but I still need to be a queen.
Yeah.
Sad queen.
Sad queen.
It's
very I mean business.
And we speak about sad queens as well, because there's a little transition here. At the end of episode 3, you may recognize this outfit again, but in a different bit of a shape, different colors, when Queen Abelana, who is the current monarch at the time, wears it during Padme's funeral when she's being paraded down to her mausoleum. This dress is worn by Abelana, and she has more of a feathered headpiece on top. The color scheme is different. The color scheme is more like a gold silver with deep, deep purple, and the Naboo crest lining all around it. And she also has teardrop makeup, which is really pretty.
Yes, and it's got these interesting, like, little, like, diamond teardrops that are glued right to the inner corner of her eyes. It's very, very beautiful.
But the fact that it's a somber
dress. Yeah. And the fact that they use the same design in a different color scheme, a different fabric, I think that this particular design has a great ceremonial value, meaning for the queens of Naboo.
I agree. And it's obviously, if you look at it, you can know it's based off of a Japanese kimono of, you know, high importance. So it's nice to see that, you know, a lot of her outfits are, you know, hinted at towards certain cultures. But this is basically a direct, like, hey, this is a Star Wars kimono. Like, there's no hinting, there's no beating around the bush for this. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So
this outfit actually appeared in Vogue, too.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. And it was worn by a model during the 90s. And she's kind of dancing around. And
I know what image you're talking
Do you remember
about.
That yes. one? Yeah. And they recreate the makeup and everything, and she pulls her skirts apart so you can kind of see a little bit more of the outfit. But it's, let's see, they actually talk about it more. Let's see. No, they just talk about it, but it incorporates a pearl embroidered panel from an antique dress circa 1920.
I mean, it's a gorgeous dress. I mean, I do hate that some of her dresses are only on screen for, like, maybe a minute.
It's crazy, considering the amount of work that went into these outfits.
Exactly. Like, how little they're seen. People spend months on these, and they're only on screen for maybe, you know, a minute to 2 minutes at tops, depending on the outfit.
Yeah, this is some of the most gorgeous costuming work in Hollywood ever. And they're barely utilized.
Yeah, but I mean, I get why they did that, because, you know, they wanted to show the importance of her and, you know, not have it necessarily be the focus, the costumes be the focus, but at the same time, you can't help but focus on the costumes.
Yeah. I just like that it means that they put so much heavy importance on the costuming in the mm-hmm. Star Wars universe that, you know, that they have such a huge costuming budget and there's so much time and detail given to each outfit.
So, which one do you like more? Is it Abelana's or is it Padme's?
I think I lean towards Abelana's.
Okay.
I really like that royal purple.
Because they talk about her in the book, right? Or is that in the book?
In Padme's book?
Yeah.
I actually have not read Padme's book.
No, I'm talking about the Abelana in the book that you have right now.
Oh, they just, it's So in the book, these two outfits are featured side by side. And there's a close-up detail on Apollonia's headdress, which is also super pretty. But they don't really talk about it. They just have a quote from Kesha Castle Hughes about wearing it. That's about it.
What'd she say?
She says, "It feels kind of strange knowing that I rule the whole planet of Naboo and I'm only 13. At first, my face, because it was really white, was a bit of a shock. But then the whole costume was put together and the headdress was put on and I really felt proud. I felt like a queen."
See, and that's... And people say, you know, oh, sometimes, you know, the costume helps the character. I think the costume helps the character when you get into the character, like, all the time. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we know that with cosplaying.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, like I said, and that costume was on the screen, I think, shorter than, obviously, the Padme costume, but still beautiful. Yeah. And still, you know, very striking and very, like, oh, that's something.
Well, and it gives you, it gives you continuity, and it gives you a history to Naboo. It adds to the canon of Naboo and the queens. It's a beautiful outfit.
I mean,
I don't know if it's one that I would choose to wear.
I was just going to ask you, is there stunning. Something that you, on this outfit, that you don't like?
Not particularly. Maybe the headdress. I think that the flange at the top is a little bit much. Mm-hmm. I prefer it on Apollonia's with the feathers. I think the feathering is beautiful. And in fact, her feathering, I feel like if they switched headdresses, it would work better.
The color-wise, you mean?
Yeah.
I agree. Like, if you keep the feathers, or switch the feathers, but keep the gold and keep the white beading.
Yeah. The feathers need to be switched, though. I agree. It's an ear, I don't know. Because I assume, and I always have assumed, that the flange at the top is supposed to actually be her hair.
Really?
It looks like hair.
Because I know she has a long ponytail in the back that we never see.
Yeah, and Apollonia has the same thing. It's really beautiful. Rope-like braids.
Yeah.
But we also know that Padme has a ridiculous amount of hair, or that she wears lots of wigs. Like, that's part of the Naboo aristocracy look.
See, I never thought of it as hair. I thought of it more as, like, you know, like horse braids, like horse hair or something.
It matches her hair in color. And I know when cosplayers do it, that I've seen, they do it as a...
Like a hairpiece?
As a hairpiece.
Interesting.
Yeah. That it's just kind of, like, splayed out over a half-moon shape.
I didn't think about that.
I'm trying to find if there's, like, a really good close-up of it. This is, like, yeah, that's hair.
Is it hair?
It's definitely hair. Yeah. This is also the... Okay, so when this exhibit opened up at FITM, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in Los Angeles, it was a really big event. I've talked about it before. Trisha Biggar was there. That's where I got my copy from of the book. She had a costume contest where she was, she was a judge.
A judge?
Yeah, no, total brain freeze there. I remember it was someone wearing this just perfectly recreated senator dress won, but they handed out a whole bunch of swag, and I still have these. Part of it was folders, you know, like school folders,
mm-hmm,
for the exhibit. And there's a close-up of this outfit on the school folders. Just her in the dress. And they're so cool. Like, I used them in college. It was great.
See, I'm looking at the outfit now, and it looks like her hair is slicked back and into that long, you know, braided ponytail that we see in the back. But it doesn't seem like the top part is hair.
I don't know, man. It looks like hair to me.
I don't know. What do you... Okay, so all of our listeners out there, do you guys think that it is hair? Do you think that it's just a decorative, ornamental piece that is just in the crescent moon shape? I don't know. That's really hard to tell, especially since it's a costume that doesn't have a bunch of close-ups.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the close-ups, but they're mostly...
I can't. I don't know.
Focus
I
think on it's... her face. No, see, that looks like hair to me. It even has a little bit of flyaways on the side.
I don't know. All of our listeners out there, comment, tweet us what you think at Echo Station Cast. If you think that is hair, or if you think that is a feathery fan dress thing. Mm-hmm. Not sure. I do kind of wish that her middle... What's the middle belt? What's that called?
Oh, the Obu?
Yeah. I do kind of wish that was a Obi? Different color.
Is it Obi? It's Obi.
I wish that it was maybe kind of a closer red to, like, her underskirt.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to fit the color scheme.
Yeah.
Or maybe gold to tie it in with the eggs headpiece. On the side of her head.
I do wish, yeah, it was either gold or a red color. Maybe, like, red with gold beading around it, or gold trim, something along those lines. But other than that, I think it's a beautiful costume.
Yeah, no, it's very beautiful. I mean, they're all beautiful in their own way.
I love them. I think that's, you know, we still have, after this one, I'm trying to count. So we have the Senate outfit, which is up next, which we both love that outfit.
Yes.
We have her black somber outfit when she realizes she has to go back home. We have the purple traveling outfit and slash Qui-Gon's funeral outfit, which we know you love.
Oh, yeah. I have some opinions.
And then we have her purple battle dress, and then we have...
Which I love.
Her celebration dress. So what is that, six? Seven?
Which everybody loves.
I can't count.
Did we talk about the... Oh, no, that's just episode one.
Yeah. So, obviously we have plenty more, you know, to go still. But episode one, the season's starting to get, you know, towards the end, guys, so... Yeah.
Do we want to mention, real quick, the handmaids?
Yes. So, as Chris mentioned on the front of the cover is, you know, this outfit, but she's flanked by these two beautiful handmaidens who are dressed in, like, this crimson, burgundy red outfit that complements that dress so beautifully.
Yeah, there's these just gorgeous velvet robes.
And they're adorned
beautiful
with the
hoods.
Naboo crest.
They have and the Naboo cross split. They're burned into the velvet, which is a technique I love.
And normally we see her handmaidens in the flame maiden attire and whatnot, but I do like that her handmaidens even have a complimentary gown color for her outfits. I really
and
like that.
Those, according to the book, those are from Revenge of the Sith.
The red ones?
Yeah.
Well, that can't be, because Revenge of the Sith came after.
I don't know. That's what they said.
That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they reappear in Revenge of the Sith. I'm not remembering it.
Book, you lie. You lie, book. You sit on a throne of lies.
That's what it says.
Lies. So that about wraps it up for us, guys. We talked about the pre-Senate outfit. Like we said, it's, you know, a brief appearance, but it's one of those strong ones. It's a gorgeous piece. I know I've seen a few cosplayers do it before. It's not an easy dress by any means.
No,
but
just doing
at least
that
you can find,
is incredible.
Well, at least you can find a pattern for a kimono, so you can actually go off something, whereas her other dresses, you basically just kind of Frankenstein something together and make your own.
Yeah, that's a lot of cosplay, unfortunately.
It is.
But so, and the dress itself is a fairly simple design. It would just be really following, finding the colors or color matching. And
it's the coloring and the beading and the embroidery and...
The embroidery's not complicated.
Because it's only on sleeves, isn't it?
It's on sleeves, it's very large, and it's just a bunch of little loop-de-loops. I mean, honestly, that is super duper easy.
And nowadays, you know, back then it was made in, like, what, 97, 98? Nowadays, you can just do a machine to do that, so...
Well, you could do a machine without. There were embroidery machines back then. Back in the old days.
Back in the olden days?
Back in the olden days, but you could easily do that by hand, or with a machine. I mean, pretty much any machine. You could. I know exactly what I do, because I would chalk on the design, and then you could just machine embroidery it on with pretty much any machine. You wouldn't need a special embroidery machine. And then just go back and hand embroider the beads, the little pearl beads onto it. It would really not be hard. Yeah, so the dress itself is super easy. It looks complicated, but it's really not that complicated. That headdress, I would murder somebody.
The headdress almost has to be 3D printed at this point.
It's, just the beading.
The beading itself is going to be, yeah.
Oh my god.
Someone find a 1920s flapper dress and then just cut the beads off and you're good to go.
Ta-da!
Yeah, you have your costume, you're done. But like I said, that about wraps us up for this one. Our next episode is indeed the addressing the Senate robe, that gorgeous orange and red robe that she wears. We know a cosplayer by the name of Jedi Manda did this costume at not this celebration, but the previous Star Wars celebration, and I believe she took home second place, or first place. It was one of the two big top awards. So we'll definitely be talking about that costume as well.
See, and that costume and a couple others is what leads me to think that it's a hairpiece.
I don't know.
Because it's a similar look.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. Padme and her elaborate hairpieces.
We gonna see. We gonna see.
Tell us your opinion, people.
Yes, tell us your opinion. Don't forget to tweet us at Echo Station Cast and follow us on Twitter there as well. We've been posting a bunch of new images from the Empire magazine of Rise of Skywalker that is being released soon. So, bit by bit, images are being released and interviews and stuff like that, and we are tweeting them out. So don't forget to follow us for all that latest news. We tweeted about also the Triple Force Friday for all those toys and stuff, and Chris and I both agree that we need more shelving space.
Oh, so much more shelving space.
And then don't forget to follow me at IR Turner on Twitter, and then House of Turner Cosplay on Facebook and Instagram. And Chris, they can follow you at The Dirt Witch on the Twitters.
On the Twitters.
And then we're on
Chris
Instagram.
Chris Jaded and Chris Jaded on Instagram.
On the Instas.
On the Insta.
And then don't forget also to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Basically, we are there. Go to theheroespodcastnetwork.com for a bunch of other shows that you will
Lots of exciting new shows.
Yes, we have a brand new one that just debuted called Spellcast. That's what it's called, right?
I thought it was Spellbound.
Spellbound? Oh my god. I'm so sorry, Ray. My best friend in the world hosts that show, and she's gonna fucking kill me.
Spellcast is kind of clever, but I wonder if that was taken.
Oh my god. I swear, I know our shows. It's been the day. I may have drank a little bit last night.
We have a lot of shows. We have a lot of shows.
We do. It's not, you know. Yeah, it's Spellbound Podcast at Spellbound Cast. Go follow them. It's our brand new show. Talk about all the fantasy stuff that's around the world and from previous years and all that good stuff. So give them a follow. Give them a like if you like that kind of stuff. They just talk about Dark Crystal, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And like I said, we are at Echo Station Cast on Twitter. Follow us, like us, give us some love. We always love hearing from you guys and getting tweets. We're getting more tweets now from you guys, so we like that. And until next time, guys, may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.